This is Rebecca, and this is Real Talk with Rebecca, a podcast I wanted to start just to highlight wonderful people in our community and organizations, ministries, just doing great things and having some real conversations, too, about them. Just open, honest things that we deal with each and every day. And my guest today on the second podcast is Lisa Canales-Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, you've been on The Morning Mix a few times now talking about Angels Outreach, and we'll get to that in a moment as well. But I would love for us to get to know you, just your faith journey. You know, how long you've been serving the Lord? How did you come to the Lord?
Yeah. Everybody has this wonderful story, or some people do. For me, I just kind of grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. My father and my mother were very instrumental in really just sharing, you know, the love of Christ. And it's one of those things that if you wanted to go to church, that's great because you're going. And if you didn't, you're still going. So, but we didn't mind. Actually, mm-hmm. we were always very respectful of our parents. And we just knew that mm-hmm. Sunday was, you know, that's what we do. And then there was, you know, on Sunday nights and things like that. So I think for me is that he's always been a part of my life. The church has always been a part of my life. But the journey is what changed me, because growing up, you know, it's part of my life, and I knew who he was, and I honored that, but I didn't have a real relationship till much later, mm-hmm. and that's where the journey started for me.
Yeah. So, and it's like that when we're young, and we are told to go to church. It is right? part of our life,
yeah.
but then there's a part when we have to decide for ourselves if we're going to make that connection, right. that relationship. And if no one else is telling us to go to church, yeah. we're going to go anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. So what happened? It's young adult. I mean, how long?
Yeah. So I, you know, did the whole thing. I got, you know, married young, and we had children and just life. I went to college in Florida. I was supposed to be a cruise director.
Wow.
That didn't happen.
How cool.
I know. And, but yeah, I came home and got married, and my dad's like, all right.
Yeah.
But it's been wonderful. And so just through that whole journey, but I think, you know, once the story of Angels, I think it started, just before I had my last daughter, and her name is Angel Mia. But before that, I would say that's where things really started to change for mm-hmm. me. During that pregnancy, it was crazy, but there was this profound feeling that I had to have another child. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, I don't know if we can afford this. Should we do this? We have three healthy children. Why are we? But it just kind of overtook my day. Mm-hmm. And so when we knew that we were having another child and we knew it was a girl, I just felt like, okay, God, I knew this is from you. And so walking through that process. But during that pregnancy, I was so intrigued with angel everything. Like, I don't know why, but I was reading books on angels. I was reading what the Bible said about angels and their level of hierarchy and just who they were and what people thought of them. And it just, you know, became, so I think really that was my journey, and it started there. Mm-hmm. And then the whole story with Angels Outreach and all of that.
Well, but, share that as well.
Yeah. So Angels Outreach was created off of a miracle and my promise. So when I, Angels actually stands for Area Neighbors Getting Involved Lovingly and Spiritually. And what that means is that we went to have our daughter, and there was some difficulties. And you know, there was no problems up until then, but immediately the monitors went off, and he comes in and he tells me that it's an umbilical prolapse. I have no idea what an umbilical prolapse is. I have no idea. My hospital bed is wheeling down the hallway trying to save her life, and I life just changed. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what was going on. I just knew I was scared. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the moment that, you know, he's trying to tell me what it is. You know, I'm in this room by myself. It's a dark, cold room before I can see where if I look forward, I can see the surgical room, and I can see that they're preparing the room. And then it's kind of like this. Mm-hmm. You can see through it. And so, but I just sat there and I cried. And I begged God not to take her. I screamed at him and I begged him not to take her. And I told him that this was a plan. I felt like it was a plan. And so I prayed and I asked God, I said, please don't take her. I need to meet her. She has a purpose. And I asked him to send his angels down to save her life. I don't know why I said that. I did. And I begged him to save her. And the minute I said that, the room changed. Immediately, the room changed. I was cold. I was shaking. I was scared. And then all of a sudden, the room just became warm. And I stopped shaking. And my stomach stopped hurting. Sorry.
No, it's what's amazing. This happened so many years ago. But you're describing as it just happened yesterday because you remember it so well.
30 years ago.
Yeah, 30
and
years
I still
ago.
Got the tears every mm-hmm. time I talk about it.
Wow.
Because it changes your life. So, but I felt the room change. And I remember thinking, well, I asked for an angel. Are they here? Right. And I'm looking around and I couldn't see anything. But I knew they were there. You couldn't convince me they weren't there. And I remember just... I remember saying, God, are you here? He didn't answer, but he did. And I just felt this unconditional love and healing that I've never felt in my life. And it was his way of saying, I felt like it was his way of saying, I heard you. I heard you, and I'm going to give you a miracle. I didn't know that then. I was still scared. But all I know is that everything changed. The hospital door opened, and they wheeled me into surgery. And, you know, afterwards, when I was getting up, that's the first thing I thought of, because I thought maybe she died. And I kept saying, is she alive? Is she alive? And nobody would answer me. And everybody kept saying, she's fine. And I thought everybody was lying to me. And finally, the doctor walked in and he said, she is alive, but we don't know the damage. Lisa, we don't know how long the umbilical cord was detached from you. And we don't know how long she didn't have oxygen. She is alive. And we're going to continue our test to figure that out. And I'm like, what? And so through that whole process, when all this news was coming at me, I was reminded of that moment and that by myself with him. And I thought, he heard me. I know he heard me. And so I was trying to be optimistic. And I'm like, I know he heard me. And, you know, the minute I saw her, gosh, they put her in my arms and she had all these wires all over her. And I just wanted to hold her. I wanted to hear her breath. And mm-hmm. I could feel her. I could see her little... her little chest, and I was counting it 1, 2, 3. I could feel, you know, like I could see her little mm-hmm. heart racing, and counted her toes, and he just, you know, we got to see her for a very short time, and it was enough time, you know, for me to just be reassured of what God's, you know, God's promise. And so the doctor didn't think so. He was pretty much preparing us
wow.
that even though she's alive, we don't, you know, with so much oxygen that she did not have, mm-hmm. there's complications with that. And he sat down and he explained to us what an umbilical prolapse is. Mm-hmm. And most children don't make it. And if they do, there's profound heartache for parents mm-hmm. and the family. And so...
Is brain damage
yeah.
one of them?
And so... But even when he said that, I heard him. I didn't believe him, though. And from that point on, it was like God was pouring into me. Just know I was there. It was me. It was me. And so I just got this confidence. And I told him, I said, you do your test. I said, but she's going to be fine. And he said, Lisa, I said, she's going to be fine. And he walked out. And I was like, ooh. What yeah. did I just say? And I also knew that confidence didn't come from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I think it was a whole nother day, he came back in with all these doctors and I was by myself. And I thought, well, that doesn't look good. like four doctors coming in, and right. I thought, this doesn't look good, and I'm by myself. And he started going down the list of everything that they did, all the tests. And I got so anxious, and I said, listen, I don't mean to be rude, but please tell me what the...
Right. I just
would
want
you
to
please
know.
Just give me the answer? And he said, Lisa, there is... She had no oxygen, and I don't know exactly how long, but she had no oxygen. It was an umbilical prolapse, a complete detachment. He said, not only should she not be here, but there's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing.
Praise God.
And I just sat there, and I laughed, and I smiled, and I cried, and he said, I said, I told you. And he looked at me, and he said, how did you know that? And I shared with him what mm-hmm. happened in that room.
Good for you.
And I said, you know, I told God that not only would I spend the rest of my life giving back, I don't know if you're supposed to bargain with God, but I did. And I made a promise to him that I would spend the rest of my life giving back in some way to help others. And I also promised him that I would continue telling my testimony of his miracle. And I said, gentlemen, you are the first people to hear this testimony. Wow. And so 30 years later, she's absolutely gorgeous. She has two sons, and she's married, and they're both firefighters.
Wow.
And today's my grandson's 9th birthday. So.
All right.
So we're excited.
And then from that, you started Angels Outreach.
I did. And so we started, she was born in September, and that 6 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it was, before the first holiday, we were up and running. Mm-hmm. Didn't look like it looks now, but we were up and running. And so I knew immediately that the calling was to serve families. Mm-hmm. He placed that in my heart, and I knew, I don't know why, but it's like one day I went from, I remember I was with my dad, and I said, Dad, I made this promise to God, and I don't know if I can keep it. And he said, Lisa, I think any parent would have done that. I said, Dad, but I have to keep it. And he said, Lisa, God knows your heart. I said, I know, but Dad, she's healthy. She's with us. She's here. I said, but I don't know what could I possibly do to ever repay back a life? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. And he said, Lisa, your story has a purpose. And I remember the minute he said purpose, it's like God just poured into me what he wanted. Honestly, I don't know. It was crazy, but he poured into me that it was families and it was food baskets. And I'm like, so I told my dad, I said, this is what it is. And he's laughing. He's like, what? We're talking and I'm getting all excited. And I jump out of his house and I'm like, I just wanted to get started. So we did. And, you know, my connection in the any connection I had, I don't care if you were a neighbor, if you were the garbage man, you were listening and hearing my story about angels.
I love it.
And and so I just really just talked to anybody that would listen about what we wanted to do and how we were going to do it. And since then, I cannot tell you, I have a million stories of just the goodness and the faithfulness, not only of God, but of this community that just embraced us and said, we want to help. And so
how often does Angels Outreach give to the community?
So we provide food baskets for needy families during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of broadened our little horizons since then. We do so much more. We host a large toy drive mm-hmm. every year. And so those all of those toys go to local families. We host... we have these boxes called Angel Wings, mm-hmm. and they go out to people, to our friends on the streets, homeless people or whoever needs them. And they have socks, hand warmers, gloves, whatever they may need, toothpaste, toothbrushes, mm-hmm. anything people will need. And then we also got these cool backpacks that we got. They're really thin because boxes, they're nice, they look nice, and I like things to look nice, but they're not... They're not feasible if you're on the street.
Exactly.
They're not feasible. So we got these backpacks that have our logo on them. And if I can find a deal, trust me, we're 100% donation funded. So we are always looking for the deal. But we got the backpacks, and they have little blankets in them. hand warmers, gloves, scarves. Like I said, toothbrush, we have little packs of food in there. Mm-hmm. Anything that we can stuff in there, we stuff in there. And so we do that. Also, we give those out. The other thing that we do, which I really love, is because those we hand out, but we know that the population in the mental health world, they don't, especially the homeless, they don't like to be bothered. Mm-hmm. They feel like you're on their territory, mm-hmm. and they can be very aggressive. We found out the hard way. And so what we've done is I grab like a scarf and gloves and hats, hand warmers, and I tie them all up with some string, and we tie them to trees. Really? We tie them to benches. We tie them all over the city of Toledo, anywhere that we can find. And the card says, "I am free and you are loved." And so whoever needs them just grabs them. And so we love doing that. I always put them all over the place, and then we come back around and they're always gone.
Wow.
We go to bus stations. We go everywhere.
And so you do so much.
We love it.
You're so faithful to your promise to God, Lisa. And so many people would have gotten their way, got healed.
Yeah.
You make all these promises in the heat of the moment and disregarded those promises. And not that God would be angry, but you literally followed through. You listened.
Yeah.
And here you are 30 years later.
I know. It's crazy. That's His grace, because I feel like even though we continued, He has been so faithful to put the right people in our lives to make it happen. You know what? You can have somebody like me that's just at the forefront, but I can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, He has stirred hearts that people I don't even know have donated to us or said, "We want to help." And I'm like, yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
We wouldn't be here without it. Yeah.
But it's been Him that he's just stirred hearts. And, you know, we have so many stories. And one that always sticks out in my head is I remember I made a commitment. I think it was 40 families. And for us, that was a lot then. So I was like, I didn't have a board. It was just me and my husband and family, whoever wanted to help. And but I committed to 40, and I was like, I didn't have it. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I knew that I had enough for 20, mm-hmm. Donations and stuff. I knew I had enough for 20. And so I just sat there, and I said, you know what, God, I'm going to leave this in your hands, because I'm just going to go and shop for what we have. And I remember it was a Kroger's on Navarre Avenue. I walked in there with my little sorry self. With my heavy, I'm like, I walk in there and I get everything I need, and I'm in line, and this lady, because I think I have two carts or something mm-hmm. like that, and this lady's like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing?" And I start, you know, we're in a big line. It's Thanksgiving. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people shopping, so I got time to talk to her, and I share my story with her, and I tell her about what we're doing, and I said, so I'm just trying to keep my promise, and, you know, but we love doing this. We love feeding those that are in need, and, you know, this is, I feel like it's my calling, and this is what we're doing. And she was asking lots and lots of questions. Mm-hmm. I answered all of her questions, and I didn't tell her about the 40. I just told her everything else. And so I go, it's my turn. I go up next, and before I could pay, she stepped in front of me, and she paid for everything.
Come on.
And I'm like,
so that means you had the money now
for
to do
the other
20.
And I sat there, and the teller's crying. I'm crying. She's crying, and I'm trying to tell her what I'm trying to tell you.
You're making me cry.
And I just sat there, and I said, "He's so good." And she's like, "What?" And I remember her saying, "I'm not a faithful woman, but you have inspired my heart today." And I said, "You have no idea what you just did."
Did you tell her about the 40
then? I did.
40 then?
And she said, "As you're talking to me, I felt like God was like almost pushing me. Somebody was pushing me to do this." And I said, "Well, that was Him, my friend." And but we have a million stories like that of just the goodness of people.
Because you just go out there willing, and you go with what God's given you to do.
Yeah.
You do it, and then He supplies. Mm-hmm. You've learned to trust Him, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
It's not always
oh, my
easy.
Gosh.
It's not always easy, because if things don't go the way we think they should go, or, you know, we sometimes throw in the towel and we walk away, and then we say, "God, why weren't you there? We just didn't give Him enough time."
I know. And, you know, I will tell you, you know, making this promise. I mean, we all have promises, right? Mm. We keep, oh, yeah. And we, you know, I mean, but, you know, people often say to me that, you know, even my father said, Lisa, it's been 25 years. Like, right. When we had our 25th anniversary, he goes, I never thought you'd make it past five. I never thought you'd make it past a year. And I'm like, Dad, thanks for the confidence. Right. He goes, but I was always there for you. And we would laugh about it. But he said, you know, mija, in Spanish, that means, you know, my daughter. He says, mija, you know, you do so much. It's okay. You can stop. And I said, Dad, I can't stop. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, when are you? I said, when he tells me.
Right. You'll know, huh?
When he tells me. Yeah. I said, but I have more energy now than I did 20 years ago.
Wow.
How can you not when you see what God is doing all around you?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not done. I feel like I'm just getting started.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And, you know, I want you to just give information on how to find out more about Angels Outreach.
Yeah.
And how somebody can donate or be a part. Is that the website?
Yeah. And if anybody ever wants to come, we're over at Washington Church Toledo, on Central. But to see us all come together when the baskets go out is amazing, because throughout the year, and that's a whole nother story, throughout the year, we've gained an amazing relationship with the Toledo Police, Toledo Fire, the State Highway Patrol, and the Lucas County Sheriff's Department. All of these men and women come, and they join at one time. They get their baskets, and they have routes. Everybody's got routes, and they take off. But they come together at one time, and I think our organization is the only one that has all four that help together at one time. But they come together just to believe in angels and to serve families. And it's amazing, because I tell them, the two things that we do, you got to let us pray over you, and you got to let us pray over this food before you leave. And so to just look around just to see 60 officers with their heads down praying.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
So is it angelsoutreach.com or .org?
It's actually angelsoutreachtoledo.org.
Angelsoutreachtoledo.org, if you want more information.
Yeah.
So we're going to transition in this conversation with you, Lisa. You shared something with me months ago. You asked me to read a story. And it was something, you know, a story about prayer, God calling you to prayer in story form. And I read this story, and I was chill bumps everywhere reading it. And I couldn't put it down. I just kept reading and reading and reading it. And I thank you for sending it to me to read because it blessed me. And I do believe that this is going to be a blessing to others as well. And it's called Prayers in the Dark.
Yep.
And God called you to pray. I think he's called you to be somewhat of a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
But it's not always easy.
No.
It's not always easy. And so would you mind sharing sharing this story with us today?
Sure. I feel like I'm sniffling all over everybody.
And I wish
so
I had Kleenex in here.
No,
I
you're
don't
fine.
Even have Kleenex in
you're
here.
You're fine. I just, for the for the listeners, I'm so sorry.
Hey, it's okay.
And this isn't going to get any easier. But I want to thank you, because I love writing. And as I write these stories down, it's important. I just wanted to get feedback. I wanted to see, like, were you feeling the same thing I was? How, you know, so I really appreciate your feedback on this. It gave me confidence to kind of get it out there. So
well,
I appreciate it's that.
Getting out there right now.
Yeah, here we go.
I think it definitely should be out there. So go ahead and share.
So, so we had been going to, let me back up. I think for me, prayer's always been very important to me. It's for me, prayer is just, it's my lifeline. You know, I feel like God sometimes, you know, he doesn't say this, I'm joking, but he says, you again. And I always, yes, it's me again, God. Hi, how are you? But that's really my day. It starts with him and it ends with him. And because I've learned throughout my journey is that God cares about everything. He cares about the keys that you lost. He cares about that you stubbed your toe and you're 5 minutes late, like today. he cares about everything. And I love that about him. And he cares about the big things and the little things. So I've learned really that my relationship with him is that's what I should be doing, is we should be turning to God, not to man and not to this world. It's him. Mm-hmm. And so that's where kind of this started. So the story starts that I just remember getting up and in the middle of the night, and I felt this energy, like I have no idea why I'm up. I look over at the clock and it's 3:13 a.m. And I'm like, but I felt this energy, like I knew I was supposed to be up. And what I've learned is that sometimes God will get us up in the middle of the night to pray. Mm-hmm. Maybe for you, maybe for your family, maybe for a complete stranger. I don't know, but I believe he does. And so I just said, Holy Spirit, I'm here. Would you please show me who you want me to pray for? And I just sat there and I kept repeating that over and over. And all of a sudden I got this, just a strong feeling. And as I was trying to embrace it, I felt this huge sadness. And it was almost like I could feel what they were going through. Mm. I could feel dark rooms turning darker. I could feel like emptiness and like just complete sadness. And I knew 100% that I was to pray for suicide.
Wow.
I had never been in a position like that. I've never been up like that. It was, so I did. And the more that I prayed, the more that I felt, it was like he was allowing me to feel their pain. And it scared me. And it not only did it scare me, but I felt like I had to pray harder. And I knew it was us against evil. You know what I mean? It was good mm-hmm. against bad. And I was, so the more that I just was praying louder and harder. And
this is intercessory prayer.
Yeah.
You're doing.
I am literally just praying. And like I said, the more that I felt it, the more I knew that this is what I'm supposed to be praying for. But it was the dark room that really grabbed me. And I was like this person felt no hope at all. Like there was nothing else that they could do and they just wanted to end it. And so that's what I was praying against. I was praying against the thoughts that were in their head, that they would be, how do I say it? That they would just be numb to it, that they wouldn't be able to hear what the enemy was saying, that that whatever was in their head, that it would be just that God's voice would be there instead of the enemy, and that light would be shining in dark rooms, and just all of those things. And it's hard for me to say, and that's what I was praying through, is like stumbling through
it's
it and
lot.
Trying to get
yeah.
through a lot, especially when you're feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I believe God does that. He allows you to feel it mm-hmm. So that you can pray through it. And I did. And it was draining and it was a lot. But I remember the first time I opened up my eyes, it was like 5:15 in the morning.
Wow.
And
that's a long prayer.
And I didn't even realize that I had prayed that long. I literally was like, just have no idea.
Have you ever prayed like that
no.
prior to this? No.
No, it was a very first time, because I just kept praying, but I could not believe it was that had been that long. And so I just said, God, I hope that we prayed through this, and I hope that we prayed through the enemy, and I hope that, you know, we sent them back to the abyss, and mm-hmm. I hope that we, you know, and I was just saying all this, I hope that these prayers, you know, gave light to somebody that was in the darkness, and that anybody that was thinking of suicide, that thought is out of their head, and that they have a renewed this morning, that everything is renewed mm-hmm. for them. And then I fell asleep.
Right.
And then the alarm went off, and I got up. It was ready for, you know, for work. I heard the alarm. And shortly after that, maybe only a half an hour, my phone rang, and it was early. So when I looked to see, it was one of my family members that called me. I knew it wasn't good. She never, why
doesn't
would
call
she?
You yeah. right at that time. Yeah.
There's no reason. But I was confused, and I picked up the phone. And I heard her screaming and crying. And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And all she said was, it's Lucas. And I said, what happened? And she said, Lucas, he committed suicide last night. Which is a family member.
I'm so sorry.
And I sat there and I was like, what? And as she's telling me, I fell to my knees. I literally fell to my knees. And I didn't say anything to her because I was still trying to wrap my head around what she said. And as I'm listening to her, she's telling me details and, you know, of, you know, what she knows. And I'm listening to her and I'm just, my heart is just filled with so much anger. I'm so mad. I'm mad that they chose to do that. I'm mad like, God, you asked me to pray right. for this. You specifically got me up and you said, pray for this, Lisa. Mm-hmm. And I did. Mm-hmm. I was obedient. I got up. I did what you told me to do. Mm-hmm. Why?
Right.
So I was so mad. And I got off the phone and I just cried. And I was so mad at him. I didn't understand why he would do that. And
did you ever think, did I pray enough? Did I pray something wrong? Yeah. I mean, did those questions pop in your head?
Immediately, the enemy was there. It's your fault. Mm. You went to bed. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't pray hard enough. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe you're not faithful enough. I'm not kidding you, immediately.
And did you know it was the enemy's voice?
Oh, I knew. Because I went from so much anger, and then I could just hear it. It's my fault. All I kept hearing was, it was my fault. And I was like, it is my fault. The first time God asked me to get up and do this, I did it wrong. It's my fault. And
what a heavy burden to carry.
Yeah, especially with family. Mm-hmm. And so the next couple days, I had no idea how I was even going to go to this funeral. And I wasn't. And
you
I thought
honestly
I had
felt
to.
Responsible.
I did for days. I did. Wow. And so I think the funeral was less than a week after that or something. But every night since that, he would wake me up again. And I was like, I'm not praying. I got nothing. Right. I don't have anything for you. It didn't work. And the enemy's telling me, you're right.
Were you scared too? I mean, it was like.
Yeah, I was scared. I didn't believe that my prayers had anything to do, like they didn't work. And why? Why? And I remember the enemy saying, just go to bed. Mm. You need the rest. Mm. Yeah, I do. So wow. I would go to sleep. And so the day of the funeral, I finally told God, I am mad. And I'm sorry that I'm mad. I don't know what to do with these feelings, but I know that I need to go. Mm-hmm. Would you please give me the strength to go? Would you please just, and he did. And I went, and I remember when I walked in, there was a huge room and it was full of people. It was like standing room only. Wow. And I could see his mom. And I quickly hugged her and walked away. And people were lined up behind me, so it was a good excuse to just keep mm-hmm. moving. And then I saw her, his father. And he hugged me, and I remember him saying, this is so hard. I said, I know. And he said, but look around here, Lisa. He said, what was his words? He said, even in the midst of this chaos, look at all these answered prayers. And I thought, answered prayers? Mm-hmm. What? That's sort of in my head. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I was very kind, but I couldn't get the look off of his face was so glowing. He was just like he believed it, and he knew his, like, I don't know. He gave me comfort. Mm-hmm. He gave me comfort. And this man had just lost his son to suicide, and he gave me comfort. Wow. And I walked away, and I just, you know, went through the day, and still mad, still trying to figure it out. Until the next week, we went to this prayer. It's a prayer circle. It's a prayer group where we learn how to pray with each other. Mm-hmm. We learn about intercessory prayer, how you stand mm-hmm. in the gap like I mm-hmm. did for others that can't pray for themselves. We learned about deliverance. We learned about just all the things.
Is this a prayer meeting that you've been going to before?
Yes. This, okay. Yeah, we had been going to it.
Did you struggle with wanting to go to that particular
yes.
one with everything you'd
been Oh, yeah. You know, I even, with? And again, I prayed and I said, that's when, actually, thank you for reminding me, because I did that day and I knew that I needed to go mm-hmm. and I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And so I just prayed and I told God, I said, I am so sorry for making this about me. I am so confused. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, would you please give me some direction? Give me some light on this because I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And that's all I said. And I went to the meeting. So as I'm sitting there, there's a large circle. There's lots of people there this time, more than usual. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord,
yeah.
you're not feeling it,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
And so I get there and I'm kind of grateful that there's a lot at that point because they're going around the room and they want everybody to talk about what God has done in your life or anything you want to just share. Mm-hmm. And so I just sat there and I was like, well, I didn't feel like talking. And I just said, God, I don't know what to say. I really don't. And as they were going around the room, it was getting closer to me. And I felt like he was just saying, I need you to share this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think you okay. want me to, because I'm not, like,
not
I didn't have
happy.
A lot,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
have a lot of good things to
right.
say. And it was very, he made it clear that you really need to share this. Mm-hmm. And so it comes around to me and you know, I'm still praying. I look up, and I felt like the busyness of the room just stopped. And I felt like all eyes were on me, and I looked up, and they were. It was my turn.
Right.
And I'm like, oh.
Okay, here we go. Huh.
And I just said, I just was honest, and I said, listen, I don't know if this is really a testimony as much as it's kind of something that I'm going through, and I feel like it's, but I feel like I need to share this. And so I went back to getting up at 3:13 in the morning. I went into detail, like everything I just shared with you. And as I'm telling it, my voice is cracking like it is now, like it always does. And I'm trying to tell this story. And like people were, you know, ruffling around and, yeah. you know, but everybody stopped. And it was like every eye was on me. And every voice, like everybody was looking right at me. And for a second, I thought, I don't want to say this. And then I just got this encouragement and I just started talking. And the more that I spoke, the louder I got. And I just started saying, you know what? And this happened and it's a reality and this happened. And as I'm telling the story, I could see the one lady, she was, not only was she looking at me, she was crying. And I thought, why? It felt so personal, mm-hmm. like she knew my story, but she didn't. Mm-hmm. She couldn't. And I thought, why is she crying? And I'm telling my story, and I'm telling the detail about, you know, that I knew it was for suicide, and I got up at 3:13, and I'm telling the details of what happened, and I got up in the morning, and the phone call, and all the whole thing. In the middle of when I was talking, she stood up in front of everybody.
Oh, wow.
And she looked at me and she said, Lisa, when was this? I said, excuse me? And she said, Lisa, when was this? She said, when did this happen? I said, it happened about 2 weeks ago. And she said, and she just looked at me and she just started crying. And she said, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I said, thank you. And she said, but I want you to know, my son tried to commit suicide 2 weeks ago. And now she's got my attention. And she said, while we were sleeping, my husband and I were sleeping, God got you up. And he asked you to pray for not just my son, but all of the people that are considering suicide. Lisa, you stepped in and you did that. I don't know why your family member is not here, but I know that I believe my son is here because you got up and prayed, because you prayed for him. You prayed against suicide. You prayed against the enemy that night. And I just, it was so crazy.
Wow. We don't often get those answers.
No. And she, I had so much to say. I couldn't speak. She couldn't speak. But we just went into the middle. I met her in the middle of the circle and we just hugged. And it was amazing. But it felt like there was so much that was said between us and not a word was said. Mm-hmm. So it was amazing.
It is. That's it is amazing because, for one, I mean, you did what God asked. It didn't go the way that you thought it would go. But you still went to a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
You still followed through the things you could do. You were honest about your feelings. You were honest to God. And he gave you an answer. He said, it doesn't always happen. But did that boost your faith?
Yes.
How could it not, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure everybody in that room.
Well, she went into details. Yeah. She said that her son's girlfriend couldn't get a hold of him. And she told her that she started calling him about 3:15 in the morning, and he didn't answer. And he wouldn't answer. So she said, I just knew something was wrong. So she got to his house at 3:30 in the morning, and that's when she found him. And so they called the ambulance. I mean, he made it.
Right.
Thank God he made it, because of all of it, like she said, it was crazy. But those timelines
are
crazy.
Right there.
And so even though, we don't have all the answers all the time, but I am so grateful that I got an answer, because a lot of times we don't.
No.
We don't get an answer, or it happens later, or sometimes we'll just hear it in heaven. I don't know. I don't know. But the way that God placed this story together was so amazing that's why I had to share it, and that's why I wrote it. I'm better in words than I am in my talking, I think. But
I think I just love, Lisa, that you're just honest. You're just you.
And
that's how you are when you talk to God, too.
Yeah.
The key is literally just to be honest and to be you.
And he knows our hearts. So he knows. I mean, there's times that I can't even speak. And I'm speaking very loud and clear to him, and he understands it. He understands tears. So.
And but I'm sure you have so many more stories to share as well. Yeah. That, countless things that God's have done in your life through, Angels Outreach, or personally through, being an intercessory prayer warrior, which I think God has called you to intercessory prayer. But what would you say to somebody that is struggling with talking to God, or just hearing his voice, or just obeying what he's asking them to do?
Yeah, I think, sometimes people think that it has to be this fancy prayer, and it's not. It's a conversation with God. That's all he wants. He just wants to be a part of your life. Mm-hmm. He wants to be part of your morning. And like I said, when you lose our keys and the frustrations, the ups, the downs, it's all he wants. And so it's almost like it's simply having a conversation with them, like you have with your girlfriends or your family or on a podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that simple. He does not require us to have the perfect words, because our Father in heaven knows our hearts, and he can read our hearts way before he can hear our voices. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't anything that you can keep from him. There isn't anything he doesn't already know. I mean, our only requirement is just to have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. That's all he wants. He just wants to be a part of us.
Yeah. Wow. So, you just build my faith just by talking to you and sharing, and just your love for the Lord, and you can tell that you're his little girl.
Oh.
Like, I bet you feel that way. And just being God's little girl, we're his children.
Yeah.
And just when you talk, you can tell that you just come before your daddy, in prayer, and you just talk to him. And then you tell him when you're not happy about something, and how frustrated you were during that and that story as well. I mean, honest, not pretending to be okay or to understand, but just to say, you know what? I don't understand, God.
Yeah, and I really was. And I don't think I've ever been, like, mad at God.
But it's still.
Like, I was mad. I was frustrated. And I thought, if you know my heart, then you know what's going on.
Right.
And I said that to him. I'm like, I don't understand this. Right. This makes no sense to me. But I will tell you that there is something about suicide that God has asked me to pray for before and after this that continues to be in my heart. And I don't know why, but it's okay. I'll pray for anybody, anything, any day, anytime, anywhere.
If God calls you to it, you're going to do
That's right.
You're going to do it.
That's right.
That's probably the key right there. If you know and you feel this call, maybe a wake up in the middle of the night. A name that pops in your head, you know, at a random moment, or, you know, this urge or this feeling to just do it.
Yeah. And those, just do it. And you make, you bring up a really good point, because people think, I can't hear God. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never heard God. Yes, you have. If we're just quiet enough, you really have. Because those promptings that he gives us, those are coming from the Holy Spirit. Those are like, if you haven't heard, if you haven't spoke to somebody in a while, and he's like, prompts, you know, I don't know, Chrissy in your head and says, hey, you might want to give her a call. Then I know to call Chrissy, you know, and and so those are the things that I hear all the time, but I'm aware of them now. I know what that means. And so I'm not sure I knew that before, but I think that the closer you get to him, the closer, you know, it, the louder you can hear him.
You're accustomed to his voice.
Yes. You and it is promptings. There's little promptings all day long. And sometimes, you know, I'm not one for complete silence, because I think it's too loud. If that makes sense. It's too loud for me. But I also think that's where you get to hear him. And I think that's where you get to, you know, just, you know, understand his grace and his mercy that he has for all of us. I mean, from this little girl, when I had my daughter and started with Angels, I am telling you, I am no different than anybody else. God doesn't love me any more or any less than anybody else. It doesn't matter, from the one of his most faithful servants to somebody that doesn't know God. There is no, he doesn't do that. He loves us all the same.
He certainly does.
And he's running after us all the same.
He certainly is. Lisa, thank you so much. This has been such a blessing to spend some time with you. And this is what I love about having these conversations, is that we can spend this time just talking straight through. And I know, doing the show that I do during the week, you know, I get to have these great conversations, but we're interrupted by great music. And I mean, it's great, but this is an opportunity just to talk, just real talk, and tell the real stories and share our faith walks and our experiences, our ups and downs. And I just want to thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your heart today, and and things that you've walked through in life, and also about Angels Outreach. So again, angelsoutreachtoledo.org.
Yes.
For more information on Lisa's nonprofit organization, started up almost 30 years ago, right?
It's crazy. There's so many people to thank along the way, but it is. And I just want to say, just a shout out to my husband, Ryer. He is such an amazing man of God also. And we push each other. You know, he has him in a whole different level of where he wants him to be. He likes deliverance ministry. I'm okay with that. I mean, but he, I love that, but we do push each other. And I love, I would just encourage anybody, if you, I'm sorry, I'm getting over a cold too.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
I would just,
I know,
we're a hot mess. But I would just encourage anybody that if you haven't prayed with your significant other, I would encourage you to do that. It is such a profound prayer. And even if it doesn't feel right, or maybe you haven't never done it, I would encourage people, I would encourage, you know, men and women to pray for your husband, pray for your wives, pray for your marriage. I mean, the enemy wants to, he's always there. He's, his job is to divide everyone and everything. And he goes after marriages and families first. And so we have to be diligent about that all the time. So I love that my husband is, he's such a prayer warrior, and he is definitely that rock in our family that, you know, and I know that, that we need it. We pray over our home, we pray over each other, and, you know, not every day, but we definitely do it, and we make it a point to do that. But he's part of this process as I go through Angels and where we're at now, and writing down these stories and having the ability just to write things down and then hopefully make them someday into a book someday. Who knows?
Who knows?
Right? Who knows? but, you know, you got to have that partner. And even if you don't, I mean, it's, you know, find your person, you know, and that can be another friend. It can be a woman. It can be whoever you're looking for, but just find somebody that, you know, that will pray with you.
Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says.
Yes, ma'am.
And you need that person to sharpen that iron with.
Yeah.
So it's so good.
For sure.
And not to underestimate the power of prayer. And definitely a message we heard in your conversation with us this morning, or with me this morning. So thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate you and everything you do. And
thank you for the opportunity.
I could just listen to you talk for hours. We could just have story time with Lisa.
Aww.
So we might have to do that. Thank you again so much, Lisa.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you.